Wishing will make it so. Just keep on wishing and care will go. Dream us, tell us, dreams come true. It's no mistake. And wishes are the dreams we dream when we're awake. The curtain of night will part. If you are certain within your heart, so if you wish long enough, wish strong enough, you will come to know.
I'm just completing a book I'm calling Pretty Please, A Pragmatics of Petition. And the intention of the book is to inquire into the ways in which the action of asking is performed across the full range of its modalities, that's to say, across the spectrum that runs from the less self-authorizing kinds of asking, like begging, pleading, praying, imploring, beseeching, entreating, supplicating and soliciting, through to the more self-authorizing modes of asking, like proposing, offering, inviting, requesting, exhorting, appealing, applying, suing, petitioning, claiming, and demanding. The point of the piece that this little talk accompanies is to reflect upon a magical and ritual instance of this kind of petition, namely wishing. And what I try to do is to suggest some of the ways in which the force of wishing, or so to speak, the shape of its force, might be made out in some of our contemporary forms of communication, especially mediated communication. Wishes belong to that class of linguistic entities known as performatives. Words that don't point to things in the world, but perform actions in the world. Wishes are not just proceedings, not just things that happen in the world, but procedures, things made to happen in certain ways that are also intended to be ways of making other things ensue. And this is why there's something imperious in every wish, a kind of demand in every petition. Petition is in fact from Latin petere, which means to seek, solicit, woo, or entreat, but also, more actively, to demand, attack, assail, or fall upon. It's a root that's also at work in words like centripetal, appetite, competitive, and impetus. Seen in this way, wishes are really varieties of prayer. They are executed, and so, we hope, executive hopes. Petition, of course, is addressive. We pray to fate, power, omnipotence. We pray, in fact, to something like the imaginary force of wishing itself, the capacity of wishing to fulfill itself. So this addressivity in prayer or petition may be reflexive. We pray to prayer just as we wish, as we say, on wishing. Now this is what Freud and others call magical thinking, the idea of magic, which is itself a kind of magical idea. Freud derived from one of his patients, the so-called rat man, a telling characterization of magical thinking as omnipotence of thoughts. The thought that thought is all-powerful, in German, allmächtig, almighty. When we pray to the Almighty, we depend implicitly on the almightiness of our prayer. Wishes are not just performative, they're also autological or self-instancing, like the word noun, for instance, which is an example of what it names, or words like polysyllabic or plain. Wishes, in fact, carry with them a meta-wish, the wish that wishing might take or work or make it so. Now, the omnipotence of thought, the thought of the omnipotence of thought, is something to which children are very liable. And this is a very important fact for human beings who spend longer as helpless children than almost any other species that we know of on this planet. Children spend a long time with very highly advanced cognitive capacities and very, very poorly advanced physical capacities. And the gap between these two things is really perhaps the origin of the fantasy of the omnipotence of thoughts. For what the omnipotence of thoughts gives is the possibility of a kind of hallucination or wish fulfillment of the satisfaction that may not physically be available. Now, the link between helplessness and the idea of magical power is at the root of the link between impotence and omnipotence that is to the fore in wishing or petition relations. In fact, in magical thinking, impotence is not the absence of omnipotence, but the very principle of its assurance. This is an instance of what the sociologist Roger Gomm, writing in 1975, called bargaining from weakness. Such is the condition of the interdependence of human beings, the necessary interdependence of human beings, that the weaker you are, the stronger your claims. And bidding and bargaining are central to the relations between impotence and omnipotence in petition. After all, when you pray to the Almighty, you make yourself lowly. This is a kind of magico-symbolic transaction that gives you the ear, the attention of the Almighty, who seems, in a suspiciously anthropomorphous way, to have a kind of insatiable appetite for agreeable signs of abasement in his creatures. The magical principle of the omnipotence of thoughts is not restricted to children, for it's also a thought or an assumption to which intellectuals, academics, and other stagehands of societies of knowledge and information are very liable. And the impotence of thought is also a thought to which creatures who have given over a large part of their lives to mediated forms of action and communication are also intensely liable. For wishes not only require and produce forms of mediated action, you wish through or by certain kinds of required procedures. It's not just that wishes require these mediations, it's also that, reciprocally, mediation enlarges the drive and the force of wish fulfillment. The greater the quotient of mediation, the greater the force, mediated, of course, of imperious petition. Now, under present conditions which have shifted the balance between action and mediated action so prodigiously, the huge disparity between impotence and omnipotence is also made exquisitely and puissantly acute. The practice of penitential and propitiatory rituals gets stronger by the day, even if these now consist of going through various kinds of magical motions, rather than acting from magical motives. As Wittgenstein argues in his remarks on the Golden Bough, believing in magic has very little to do with why people act magically. So, how do these broadly psychothaumaturgic considerations connect with operations in what Jacques Derrida once called the fabulous region known as the real world, the noontide realm of collective communication and deliberation? Well, my fervent wish is that they don't, very much. but wishing doesn't make it so. Or so I like to think.
Pick a boat out of the blue, eight steps in and sees you through.